for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November the 24th, 2001. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of the afternoon.
The Lord is good. You know, the Lord is good. We have I have a church over in Tennessee. I'm a Tennessean, born Tennessean, lived there all my life. Have a church in Millington, Tennessee. It's about 20 miles out of Memphis. My husband and I had pastored 20-something years together, and I lost him a couple of years ago. And I'm trying to go on with the church. It's a little hard. I was telling the ladies upstairs, I miss him so much when I go in the church. He's not there. It's really hard. But so far, I'm still going on until the Lord changes it. And I'm open to whatever the Lord wants to do. So I praise the Lord. But when you married out of the house and you never lived on your own, you're learning it's a whole new lifestyle. I'm it when anything goes wrong. It's really funny, I'll tell you this. I had some plumbing problems about 3 weeks ago. Never occurred to me to call the plumber. So I started calling friends. But they were all gone. So finally one of the girls came over and she said, "Why don't you call a plumber?" I felt real smart. I said, it never occurred to me because Jim always repaired anything that went wrong, you know. So anyways, but I'm learning. And I praise the Lord. I do praise the Lord for the privilege of sharing this afternoon. And I am going to share on the soul. A lot of you have heard it. But, you know, I was telling the girls upstairs, the more I do deliverance, the more I realize that the soul is so important in the area of deliverance. And I want to tell you something. Every time I preach on it, I get attacked. I'm not losing anything on me because I'm coming out from under the attack. I was the minister on the soul at the pastor's conference, and I got attacked. So I said to the Lord, I never mentioned that I was going to teach on the soul. In fact, I really didn't know I was when I got over here, but when the Lord told me that I should, so I'm going to. So bear with me if you heard it. Pray for me. And I just pray that the Lord will use this to help us get and receive deliverance. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come this afternoon as your children. Lord, we come in the authority you've given us where we're seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We come in that authority, and I bind the spirits over this place in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that you send your angels in and cleanse the church of any spirits that are left here from the deliverance that was just we just had in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you said to ask and you should receive. So I thank you for the angels cleansing the church. And I bind every spirit that's left in here and bind spirits, the strong man in each one of us. I bind anything that would hinder us from hearing. And Father, I just ask that you just fill this place with as many angels as we need, Lord, and that they'll stand guard in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you now to just open our ears that we might hear, our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes that we may see, and our hearts to receive the word in good ground, not my word, but your word, Father, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, open your Bibles to a very familiar scripture. Let's go to Psalms 23. I'm teaching on the soul. It's whatever, however the Lord leads this afternoon. I can say some of it will be soul ties, some of it won't. I'm just going to give it to you the way the Lord leads. The word says, did you ever stop to, everyone in here knows the 23rd Psalm, right? Did you ever stop to wonder why the psalmist David, when he was writing this, said, he restores my soul? Well, when I first was reading the scripture and where he restores my soul, I thought, well, that's just salvation, you know. But restoring means to bring back that which has been removed. Restore, according to the Hebrew, says to bring again back home, to deliver, to recover, to restore and return. And he said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so when you look at what the word says, he restoreth our soul, why does it need to be restored? And you know, over in Psalms 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And that word converting in the Hebrew is restoring. God's word restores the soul. And as we look at how the soul is torn, fragmented, soul ties and all of this that happens, you say, well, how can that be? You know, over in the Old Testament where God says that we're to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And if you remember, and I'll give you that scripture in a minute, that the soul came from God. So the enemy wants it. He wants to tear it. He wants to be controlled. Remember one thing, though. The enemy never takes but what he gives back in place. Okay? So, now let's go on. Let's look at this. Go to 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. It's a little hard holding the mic and turning, finding my scriptures, but I'll manage. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 23. He said, Paul said here in his letter to the Thessalonians, he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the whole, your whole soul, your whole body, and your whole spirit be preserved. What's preserved mean? Some of you ladies that can know what it means, don't you? Be preserved where it will stand. Excuse me? So he wants us to be free. He wants the soul to be free, and he wants it whole. He wants us to keep it. He wants our body preserved and our spirit. You know, I wrote some notes down here when I was studying this, and let me read what I wrote to you. Demons cannot enter your spirit. The body and the soul can be demonized. The soul of man is in darkness because of demons. And if a man or a woman does not know Jesus Christ, their soul is in darkness. And the enemy can enter into the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotion. If you look up in the Hebrew in the number 53:15, it'll tell you what the soul is. The soul consists of our mind, our will, our emotion, our ability, our appetite, our understanding. Our soul is what we are. We are spirit men, but we have a soul, and our soul is what we function through. So if the enemy can get in and steal any part of the soul and replace it with something else, then he can begin to control. You say, well, how does he do that? We'll get to that in a minute. Demons can enter into your body, into the physical body, to bring pain, physical pain. And they enter into the soul. They can enter into the soul, and they can steal parts of the soul. You say, how can that be? Okay. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 2. I need a glass of water. Thank you. I thought I was going to drink this other, but it's kind of hot. Genesis chapter 2 and verse, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You know, God wants us to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And so we want to get our soul back, all of it. And we want it to be controlled by our spirit. But the soul controls every part of our being. because we're soulish, you know, fleshly people. We mind, will, and emotion. So we need to get all the parts of the enemy out of it. Thank you. I've been talking for an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes upstairs. That's why I'm dry. Okay. Some of you are looking at me like in disbelief. That's okay. I'll get you to believe before we're through. It's not my job to get you to believe. I'm going to give it to you. You can do it what you want to. I was telling the girls upstairs, I said, you know, it gets discouraging sometimes. You come and you preach and you teach and you preach and you teach and you tell people what the word says, and then you think, well, Lord, who's walking in it?
Who has believed the report?
Who has believed the report? You know, and the Lord told me, I was telling them, the Lord, when he called me, he gave me Ezekiel 2 and 3, and he said, you go tell them, you go to my people. I said, thanks, Lord, I'd rather go to somebody that doesn't know, you know, because they're open to believe. But we are hard to believe the word. We want to. And he said, if you don't tell them, then their blood will be on your hands. Were you here the first time I preached on this? It was the hardest sermon I ever preached in my life. This pastor was sitting right up here, and they were, who does that woman think she is? My husband, bless his heart, was sitting right over here, and he was saying, come on, come on, you do it, you do it. And I really miss him because he was always up there and saying, come on. He encouraged me much. But anyways, God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. Now, go to I want the 19th verse. You see, God put in Adam part of himself, and he gave him a soul that was brilliant. He was very, very smart. What did he do? He named, look at verse 19. Verse 18 said, and the Lord God said, it's not, well, good for man to live alone. But in verse 19, he says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. So Adam was so brilliant. His mind, his soul was so brilliant. He named every animal, and what he named them, God left that name on them. He called them that. So what we're believing God for is to put within us the soul he put in us when he created us, so we will be like Adam was. You say, well, look what Adam did. That's just before the fall. I believe God is restoring us to back into health, to healing. He wants us to walk in health. He doesn't want us to walk in healing. We have listened to the world and walked in the things of the world where the enemy has attacked us so much and removed so much of our soul and put unbelief and doubt and all other things in us. You say, well, he can't do that to me. Well, good. I haven't met him. Am I perfect yet? I sure would like to meet you. But I want you to know God wants us to walk in power and authority. He's given it to us. And because the devil has removed so much of our soul, we can't even believe we've got the power God gave us. He said, all powers in heaven and earth have been given unto me. He said, now you go. You go. It's been given to him in heaven and earth. But he's in the throne, right hand of the Father in the throne. Why? He doesn't need that power. He's who he is, and he's given that authority and power to us. But the devil says, you don't have any power. Look, you can't do anything with me. Look at you. You're sick. You're dragging your tail feathers, and you're fighting, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. You don't believe anything. He said, well, I do. Well, let me ask you something. How many dead have you raised? How many devils have you cast out? The word says a believer will cast out devils. I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to tell you, hey, God wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be restored whole and go forth and do the works of God, and that the world will look at us and say, hey, I want what they've got. And because we are so dragging our feet and afraid to do it because of what the enemy's done to us, we don't present the picture where the world would want what we've got. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of living in the past of what was happening last year and year before last. I want to know what God's doing today. And I want to be right in the middle of it. And I tell you what, we're going to be there if we'll pay the price. God has already given us everything we need. He's not going to give it to us. He's already given it to us. But because of what the enemy has done to our soul, mind, will, and emotion, we can't believe it. We believe it 1 minute, but we get double-minded. I've been buying double-mindedness in me all this morning, getting ready to come to church. I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to wear. So I said, I bind that double-minded spirit in the name of Jesus. You see, God wants us to walk in power and authority. The devil says, I'm not going to let you. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1. You say, well, I know that scripture. Let me ask you something. Do you walk in it? Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God says, I've given you dominion. Go and take it. Let me tell you what we do. I deal with this all the time with my church, with people in our church. The weatherman says it's going to storm. We're going to have snow. We're going to have ice. We're going to have tornadoes. Did you hear what the weatherman said? Instead of saying, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I bind that storm. I bind the words he's loose. Don't get in agreement with it. See, I want you to listen to how the devil's got us programmed. You say, well, that's the world. Well, who do you think is in the world? We need to start taking authority and begin to bind. And the reason we don't do it is because of what the enemy has done to us. Say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So am I. Blood bought, redeemed, and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and overcome with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. But then here comes that. But are we walking in it? And so this is why I know what the Lord told me. He said that this is why we're not believing, because the enemy has removed bits and parts of our soul, and he has put in its place enough of him, his things, his demons, to control us in our thinking. You say, well, he doesn't control me. Okay. But do you fight him? Do you resist him? I was telling the girls upstairs, we do a lot of casting out of spirits and talking about taking authority, but we never tell him about how to stand after they've had the deliverance. And they walk out the door, and the devil says, well, you didn't get nothing. And they believe it, and they walk away. And I said, well, to agree is touching anything. You just got an agreement with the devil. Resist him, rebuke him, and cast him down. Say, no, I got delivered. You're not going to do this to me. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Do you do that? We've got to fight, people. Okay, going on. Let's go to Genesis 3. I'm getting there. Just bear with me. Genesis in chapter 3 and verse, well, I think I'll begin at verse 1. This is really the way the enemy begins to work on us, just like he did Adam and Eve. He said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said that ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the lust of the eyes, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things that control us. And so we began, even in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God, and that began to open the door of the enemy came to them. You know, we talk about, say, well, you know, the devil can't touch me because I'm God's child. And I'm covered with the blood. And we say a lot of things. But you look Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, and they were deceived. Where does that put us? The devil can deceive us if we're not careful. That's why God says over in through Paul and Timothy said, in 1 Timothy said, in the latter days, seducing spirits will come forth and seduce us. And we have got to know, we've got to be able to see, and we've got to be able to discern to resist what the enemy wants to do. And so, go to Psalm 7, and I'm going to show you how the enemy has come in and removed parts of the soul. You know, when I first heard about soul ties, and I never heard about the enemy removing the soul, but I'd heard about soul ties, I was a good Baptist person, and I didn't believe it. Well, I'm saved. Devil can't touch me. I know who I am in Christ. Sound like Leviathan raised his head, didn't it? I think it was Leviathan. But you see, we won't hear what God's trying to say to us sometimes. So in Psalms chapter 7, in verse 1, we begin to see what the Word says about how the soul is torn and into pieces. He said, David, this is the Psalm of David. He said, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Now stop right there and let me ask you something. Before you came to Jesus Christ, what protection did you have over your soul? You see, this is when the enemy began to work. You said, well, when I got saved, he restored it. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word says. But let me ask you this. Why do so many of God's people, when they get older, they get forgetfulness? They have forgetfulness. They can't remember. And lots of God's people end up with their minds cluttered, messed up. Why? And they say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. The older they get, the harder it is to remember. I don't find that in Scripture. Moses was 120 years old. His eyesight was not dim, neither was his natural strength abated. And I said, God, what you did for Moses, I won't. And the Word says he's no respecter of persons. And I said, I want to know. I believe it's mine, and I want to walk in it. I'm not there. Listen, I've been through hell for the past month. I'll just be honest with you. I felt pain that you wouldn't believe. I said, why don't you go to the doctor? Because Jesus has been my doctor for 31 years, and I just couldn't bring myself to go to a doctor. Not talking about me. I prayed. I cried. I said, God, you've always been my healer. What is wrong? You see, before we came to the Lord, the enemy had his way with do anything he wanted to us. People today, God's people that have served the Lord, have walked with the Lord, and preached the Word, and done everything that God would have them to do, but they didn't get into deliverance, and they didn't get their souls restored, they didn't get the spirits out of them, and they ended up in that kind of condition the devil's trying to bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. Because we don't want to believe it can happen to us. I know godly people ended up in nursing homes with their minds gone. And I've seen them say things and do things that Christian people don't say and do because of the demons in them. And it's demonic. And because we're so prideful, it can't happen to us. Yes, it can. If you don't use the Word and stand on the Word and receive what God's given us. He's given us deliverance. Deliverance is the children's bread. I said, well, people that don't know Jesus need deliverance. No, they don't. They need Jesus. If you got them delivered and they didn't have Jesus, what would happen to them? They'd be worse than the seven worse than the first would come in. And they'd be worse than they were to start with. A person has to be saved to be delivered. Because you're not doing them any favors if you deliver a person that doesn't know Jesus. If you deliver them and they're not saved, you better get them saved. Because they will really get in trouble if you don't. He said, while there was none to deliver. then he goes on in verse 3. He says, "O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have treated, have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without a cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute me, persecute my soul and take it." David said, "Let him persecute my soul and take it." Excuse me. "Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust." So he said, David says, if I've opened the door, what he's saying, if I've opened the door. But he just got through saying up there in verse 3 that the enemy came in and tore his soul into pieces when there was none to deliver, before he came to the Lord. And even after we come to the Lord, if we don't walk in the things of the Lord, and I still say you've got to have deliverance for your soul. You've got to get your soul back. Let me ask you something. He said, "He restoreth my soul." Did you ever try to lead someone to the Lord and you would talk to them and share Jesus with them and share Jesus with them, and they just couldn't understand it? They just couldn't understand it. They could not receive it. I was dealing with a lady, had dealt with her for a long time, trying to, she would talk about God, but she would never talk about the Lord Jesus at all. And I would say, you've got to know, you've got to receive Jesus Christ into your life. She could not understand it. We were doing deliverance on her. And I said to my husband, I said, "She's not saved. She talks about God, but she never talks about the Lord Jesus." And so I was ministering to her one Sunday morning in church, after church was over, and a spirit manifested in her, and I said, I didn't know who he was or anything at all, and I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "You know," he was just being real reasonable, he said, "You know," said, "we almost had her. She almost belonged to us." Said, "She was brought to this blankety-blank church." And said, "She just had a little bit of her soul left." But said, "Y'all been getting her soul back." And said, "She hadn't had enough soul to get saved." So now, when I pray for somebody and I have in trouble with them, I just say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, would you restore their soul? You know wherever part of it is, Father. And I ask you to restore their soul. In Jesus' name, because your word said, he restores my soul." We got her soul back, and God has done a work. She received the Lord, and she's really a real good deliverance worker. But you see, we need to listen. Well, the very idea of somebody's soul being torn and fragmented is just unbelievable. You know, we've just got all of it. Well, let me tell you something. I've got a scripture over here I'm going to read to you in a minute, and then I'm going to share. I'll wait a minute before I tell you that. He said here in Psalms that the enemy tears the soul when there's none to deliver. So let's go over to Psalm 71, and let's get another scripture. Sometimes I get ahead of myself, and I miss half of my notes. I'm not going to do that this afternoon. I'm going to share this, Lord willing. Psalm 71, verse 10 says, "For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him." Do you think the devil may sometimes lay in wait looking for a way to attack your mind, your will, and your emotion, your reasoning, your understanding? There's a scripture over in Psalms where it says, a young man that had no understanding. And I was going to use those scriptures this afternoon, but the Lord changed it and sent me another way. But let me tell you this, that part of that understanding is the soul that has been removed. And if you're having trouble understanding God's word, you need to ask God to restore your part of your soul where the understanding has been removed. You said, "I don't believe that." Well, that's okay. That's your privilege. But I'll tell you something. I want to know God. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him. I want to know all. I want to be able to receive all he wants to give unto me, that he wants me to know. I want the Lord to restore my soul, and I continually pray and ask the Lord to restore my soul. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. You know this scripture, but let's go look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse, wait a minute, verse 8. Well, that's 2 Peter. Maybe that's the reason it didn't look right. You know, let's start with verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. You know, to admit that you need deliverance or admit that, you know, that you want to get your soul back, it's humbling. You know, and God wants to get rid of our pride. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So Peter's telling us that the enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour. You know, the scripture tells us over in, I'm trying to think if it's Proverbs or Psalms, but it says that a curse cannot causeless come. What is it? Proverbs 26:3. It said that a curse cannot causeless come. There's got to be a reason. In other words, there's got to be an open door for the enemy to come in and to remove parts of your soul. He can't just walk in and take over. But he also got part of your soul he got some of your soul before you came to the Lord. So we need to call it back from then. But after we receive our soul back, the Word tells us to commit the keeping of our soul to the chief shepherd. And he will take care of it for us. But the thing is, we need to get it back first. And so the enemy goes around, and if you don't keep short accounts with the Lord and keep your doors all closed, well, then the enemy can attack you, okay? Over in Job chapter 1, I'm going to use this, show you this one. I think someone talked about it this morning. I think Brother Bill did. Chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. So, over in Peter, he says that the enemy adversary goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And here he says that Satan himself walks up and down in the earth, going to and fro. So he walks and he's looking for, I really think sometimes he really attacks deliverance workers. Because he doesn't want, you see, the devil doesn't want his work uncovered. When I first started teaching deliverance, people would invite me to come to teach in their church. And I go teach. Well, I get letters from men that say, oh, you ever talk about the devil? Well, that's what they asked me to come tell them about. And this is the way the enemy works. And I'd say, you know, if you don't want to hear me, don't come. But when, as long as they would ask me to come, I'd come and tell them. And whether they believed it or not, that was between them and God. My job is to tell it. And so I would go forth and I'd teach it. And I'm still doing it because I want to see God's people restored. And I want to see us walking in the power and authority that God has given unto us. Yes, we want to walk. You know my prayer, I prayed a long time ago and asked the Lord. Over in Hebrews 6, it says, leaving the doctrines of baptism and all those things and going on into perfection if God permits. And I said, Lord, that's what I want. Whatever the cost, are you willing to pay a price to walk there? I ain't got there yet. I'm a long ways. I hope I'm not as far as I used to be from it. God permitted. God reminded me of some of the things I've been going through, that I had prayed that prayer years ago. And I'd also prayed the one that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that was all I quoted. And I noticed everybody else quotes that too. But there's some more to that verse. To know the fellowship of his suffering. Right. So we see God wants to bring us into perfection. He wants us to walk into the kingdom. The kingdom people. God's going to use those that are walking in the kingdom to help clean up this earth when Jesus comes back. What do you think all this pornography and all this garbage that's in the earth, it's going to have to be destroyed, isn't it? Of course God can do it instantly. But he tells us that we're going to rule and reign with him. Well, that don't mean you're going to be sitting on a throne. It means you're going to be doing God's work. You're going to be We're going to be doing what God tells us to do. We're going to worship Him and praise Him. We're going to do what we want to be. You do want to be there, don't you? The Word says that those that follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Okay, going on. Gets quiet when you talk about that. Let's go over to Genesis, and I want to start with some soul ties and show you another way that the enemy destroys us. Soul ties. Over in Genesis 2, you know, I experienced a lot of this when I lost my husband. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the Word says, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's a good soul tie. It's easier to talk on this one. I'm just talking with women, but I'm going to do it anyways. Through the sex act, there is a shedding of blood, a cutting of a covenant, and you become one. That's why God is against divorce. That's why the devil is having people live together without marriage and have children without going the way God intended us to go. There's a soul tie formed between man and woman that God doesn't want it broken. Man is the reason it's broken. And God said Matthew chapter 19 that because of the hardness of man's heart. Let's go over there and look at it. Matthew 19. In verse 4, the Pharisees, let's start with verse 3. The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for ever cause? And he answered and said, talking to Jesus, and Jesus was talking here, and he said, answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The morning that my husband died, I had never experienced pain like I did. It was like my very being was ripped apart. The pain stayed for quite a while till I really had to pray and ask God to remove it. But God was showing me that what had happened was we had become one flesh, and when he left, we were ripped apart. And it was very painful. And then the Lord began to show me, not run away, but for after a while, that I needed to break an evil soul tie between my husband and I. Good soul ties you can't break. Man and woman married come together, that's a good soul tie. But then there's also, there can be an evil soul tie between man and woman where there's a control that works either from the man or the woman. And you said, well, how's that? And I'll tell you how the Lord showed this to Gemini. My husband was still working, even though he was in his 70s, and we had the church, and he worked at a job in Memphis. And they had, you know, working, and he was a boss there, and he'd be going from, they made things with sewing machines and whatever. And these women, he had a lot of women working for him, and they'd come in with flu and, you know, cold and all that kind of stuff. Well, Jim never did have any of it, but he was so kind, he brought it home to me. And I'd say, honey, pray for me. Get this off of me. And he'd go to pray. And I believe in deliverance. And he could just sit down by me. And I'd many times sit on this front row and sit next to him and just sit there and get deliverance while just sitting by him because of the anointing in him. And so nothing was happening. And Jim said to me, let's break an evil soul tie between you and I. Well, I didn't think about us having an evil soul tie. And so I said, okay, let's do it. And so he did. We broke an evil soul tie between he and I. And then he started calling those things he had brought home from the plant off of himself. And I began to get deliverance. So we saw that there's an evil soul tie. But through the evil soul tie, there was transference of spirits. A lot of people don't agree with that, but that's their problem. It works for me. And so from then on, after we broke that evil soul tie, he didn't bring me anything else. I promise you that I didn't have any more of those symptoms that he was bringing home from the plant. And so we can form an evil soul tie. There's evil soul ties and there's good soul ties. And we'll go into some of those in just a few minutes, but I don't want to get away from this right now. I want to say this, and I try to teach what I know. That's the only thing I can teach is what I know. So I want to show you this. A lot of women have lost husbands, whether in through death or through divorce or what, and men have lost wives, and yet they have never broken those soul ties. You need to break, if you're divorced, you need to break an evil soul tie with your ex-spouse. And if you've lost a loved one in death, you need to break the evil soul tie between you and them. And even you say, well, they're dead. Well, that's okay. You still need to break an evil soul tie, because through that evil soul tie, if you don't break it, you have a harder time getting healed. Grief just hangs on. And the Lord, I came over here right after Jim died. The Lord gave me a teaching on grief. We were going to tape it. The Lord told me to share it over here with what he had brought me through, so it would help other women get free, women and men get free from the grief. And the tape player didn't work. The tape didn't make naturally. So I haven't taught it again. But the thing is, the Lord began to show me through Jim and I, when I would, first of all, death came at me, okay? He said, how did that happen? Well, I had to break an evil soul tie between he and I with death. I've been telling everybody, the women upstairs, how much deliverance I've had. My son's been doing deliverance on me, calling me during the night. Sometimes he'd call me at 2 o'clock in the morning if I got in pain. I'd call him, and I said, son, I need prayer, and he'd go to doing deliverance on me. And so I praise the Lord for the deliverance. But we need, if you're grieving over someone or a child or whatever, you need to break an evil soul tie with them. You say, well, I didn't have one. Yeah, you do. You have the good soul tie and you have an evil one. And you need to break that evil soul tie. God gives us a time of grieving. He says there's a time in the scripture for grief. And if you go beyond that, then you're in sin. I read it and studied it for myself, because I thought, but God, I lived with him 55 years. I can't just walk away. I still grieve, but not to the point that it stops me from doing what God wants me to do. And so we began to call death off of me. I looked like the walking dead, if you know what I mean. That spirit was very predominant. I could look in the mirror and see it. And so we called that off of me. And so when I was doing real good, then all of a sudden I began to get some more of his symptoms. I've never had some of the things hit me. I never walked in any of it. And it was things that he had walked in. I can't explain it to you other than to say that I had to break a soul tie with him over everything that hit me and have it called off of me to get free from it. Now, I can't give you scripture and verse for that, but I know that we have soul ties, and God says we're not to. I'll give you another one where God says the soul is knit together. This one that cleaves together over here in Genesis, that means it's, I think I wrote that down. In Genesis where it says a man shall cleave to, a woman shall cleave to her husband, they shall cleave to one another. That cleave means to cling, to adhere to, be joined together, to stick. And so that's a way that we get entwined with, you know, we have soul ties with our children too. I know none of you women or men in here are guilty of trying to control your kids. I just know you're not. They're married and gone, and you stay out of their lives, I know. But just in case you do, you control them through an evil soul tie. And you need to break an evil soul tie. Over in Ephesians and over in Colossians, it talks about that we're to love our children, we're to train them up, and we're not to bring them to wrath. Did you know that anything that we love more than God, anything we put ahead of God, becomes an idol? And a lot of people have made idols out of their children. And a lot of us have made idols out of our husbands and wives. Going on. Go to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. In Proverbs 6 in verse 32, The word says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Adultery forms an evil soul tie, and it destroys a person's soul. He said, I don't believe that. That's okay. He said, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Adultery forms an evil soul tie because it's sin, it's outside of marriage, and it's against God's law. Not only, let me tell you this, having sex with someone outside of marriage, you form a soul tie with them. Okay, they go and have sex with someone else. Spirits transfer. You can pick up, you say, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm telling you what I know. You can pick up spirits from whomsoever they go and sleep with. And you sleep with someone outside marriage. See, first of all, you're in sin. You open the door through sin. You're doing something God says don't do. And then when they go and have sex with someone else, then those spirits transfer. I fully believe that most of the spirits that transfer from generational curses, I believe a lot of them come through those soul ties. I'll tell you this, I was doing some deliverance on a lady in our church about two or three weeks ago, and she's been in the church all of her life, and she still can't believe she's saved. She has a real hard time believing she's saved. And I said to her, why do you have such a hard time? She received the Holy Spirit. She prays in tongues. She plays the music. God gives her things. She came in church one night, I'm get back to what happened to her in just a minute. But she came in church one night, and I was trying to lead singing, and I was having a horrible time. I can't believe that I lead singing. I do it, you know, I'm the janitor, the preacher. You did. But anyways, I got under attack, and those women in my church jumped up and said, sit down. I said, what for? I said, we're going to do deliverance on you. And I knew I was having chest pains, okay. And this lady that couldn't believe she's saved, sitting there, she jumped up. I saw the Spirit of the Lord hit her, and she said, you come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And she, it startled me because I'd never seen her do that before. And you know, she got me delivered from that thing. She came. Next time she talked to me, she's telling me she couldn't believe she was saved. And I said, Lord, what in the world is this? And then she told me, she told me about that when she was born, that she was born with what they call a veil over her face. And so she had looked it up and found that it was called a caul. And she said, you know, something in me just really gives me a hard time when I think about this. Said, I want you all to pray for me for this thing. And so we were praying for her, and I was going after this call. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the veil was. And I just thought it was a false anointing because they had told her when she was born that she was anointed of God. You know, I mean, they told her mother that, and then her mother told her. And so I said to I was calling the thing up, and the Lord said to me, break a soul tie with her and her grandmother. Said her grandmother was a witch. And I said, I break an evil soul tie with your mother and your great-grandmother. And when I said great-grandmother, she flipped out of the chair, went out cold on the floor. And I had thought she hit the wall, but evidently she didn't because she didn't get hurt. And we got her back up, finally got her to and got her back up. And we went after this soul tie with her great-grandmother and called it out. And guess what? She now knows she's saved. She gets up with a hunger and a desire to read the Word. And she says, I understand it. Said, I never could understand it before. Don't tell me that things don't travel through the soul ties. We still haven't got the call thing off of her yet. And I was asking Doc about it because I don't know. Didn't know. I'd never run into it before. And he said that it had to do with, he's gone, the seventh daughter of the seventh daughter. Just a gypsy curse. That's what he said it was. So I said, well, we'll get it off of her. But you see, what I'm trying to show you that these soul ties are important. What did your grandmother, when you go to the doctor, you know, somebody talked about it. We talk about the generational curses. Did your grandmother have heart-to-heart problems, did you have high blood pressure, did you have low blood pressure, did you, you know, did you have this or did you have that, or your father or your mother? And we said, doctors want to know that in the natural. Well, think about it like this. If your grandmother died of cancer, if you break a soul tie with her, break the curse of cancer over her, break a soul tie with her, call any portion of her soul out of you, that would have cancer in it. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. But I know it works. I know it works. Because when you minister and you see it works, see, God did it to me in the area of the heart. Because I've never had any problems with my heart. Never. My mother had heart problems. My two sisters had heart problems. My grandmother died with a real young with heart problems. And I had never had any heart problems. And so I was lying in bed one night, and the Lord said to me, see, I said about this other one, the heart attack I had with the heart. The Lord said to me, laying in bed, he said, break a soul tie between your mother and your sisters where they had heart problems. And I said, well, Lord, I thought I'd done that. But since he told me, I did it again. And as I did that, I began to yawn and get deliverance. And I was calling the heart attack from my mother, heart problems. My two sisters had different problems with the heart, so I was calling soul tie with them out of me and all the symptoms of that heart, excuse me, problem. Then I went to my mother and broke soul tie with her. And my mother and both my sisters are dead. I'm the only one left in my family. Then the Lord said, break a soul tie with your grandmother. Well, I said, Lord, I never knew her. And I thought, okay. So I broke an evil soul tie with her. And I just got all kinds of deliverance. And I really didn't think much of, didn't really think anything else about it. I went to sleep, and the next day I felt really good. I was just, you know. And the next, I think it was a couple of days later, I went to church on Wednesday night, and I was sharing. We were singing or something. I think we were singing, and the Lord said, share what happened to you. Well, I'd even forgotten about it. And I asked the Lord what he's talking about, and he said, on the deliverance. And so I stopped and told the church how God had spoken to me and how the deliverance I'd gotten through those broken soul ties. And so they wanted me to work, pray mass deliverance on them. So I did. But I'm telling you, when God says something to me and I put it into action, it works. It's being obedient to what he says. And you know, the Lord gives me things, and then eventually he gives me the scripture for it. And so he took me back to the sins of the fathers in the area of the soul ties. In fact, I went back for four generations, the great-grandmother. My mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother, because it said to the third and fourth generation. So if you have been out of the will of the Lord and committed adultery, repent of it, break an evil soul tie with the person you were with, and call your soul back. And when you call your soul back, ask God to cleanse it and restore it in its rightful place in you. I always say, Lord, restore to me my soul from every area. When the Lord began to teach me about soul ties, I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. I was sitting in my den one day, and the Lord was telling me to break soul ties and get my soul back. And I started calling, doing that. I didn't know where my soul was. I didn't know it. I mean, I was learning. I didn't know a thing about it, but I knew that the Lord said, do it. And then as I was praying, he showed me like a pie shell with just a little bit of, maybe a couple, three slices of pie left in it. And as I was calling my soul back, the pie shell began to fill up. And he showed me in the spirit that this is what happened. I said, Lord, you know where all of it is, and I desire to have it back. And I want to walk in what God's given me. And as I said to begin with, the devil, if he removes a part of your soul, because let me tell you, as my soul began to come back, I began to get deliverance. The things that the enemy had put in me left as I called my soul back. I can't explain that. I just know that it happened, okay? I'm telling you what I've experienced. Okay, there's a soul tie between fathers and sons. You know, you remember Benjamin, Jacob's son? Go over to Genesis chapter 44, and let's look at that. You know, while you're looking for that, I want to share something about false personalities. I have done deliverance on women. Most of the people I do deliverance on is women. I don't deal with men since I don't have my husband to help me do deliverance on them. But I was doing deliverance on a lady that had a lot of false personalities. In fact, she had 16. And I had never dealt with anyone like that before. And as I began to pray, it was real hot. I mean, it's real strange how it came about. I was praying for this girl to have deliverance. And spirits manifested in her. You know what I mean when I say spirits manifested? And we began to talk to me, and she'd look at me glassy-eyed, and I'd say, I mean, her eyes just didn't look right. You know, this is early in my learning deliverance. And I finally said, who in the world are you? And she'd say, well, it's just little old me. Well, I thought it was the girl. I was real smart. I was real discerning stuff. I knew her eyes didn't look right. And she'd say, it's just little old me. So we'd just keep praying. Finally, after it dawned on me through when the Spirit of the Lord said to me, ask who little old me is. And I said, well, who is little old me? Then he gave me his name. His name was her name. I said, oh, you lying thing. You know, demons lie. And they do. They will. They left a lie to you. So I said, you're a liar. And he said, no, I'm not. I said, well, and then the Holy Spirit said, ask him what his number is. I never heard of that before. And I said, well, what's your number? He said, 3. And so we go after this spirit by the girl's name, the third number 3. And all of a sudden she began to look and sound like the person in her, a person in her family. Her whole countenance changed. She didn't sound like herself. And I said, Lord, I don't understand this. And he said, this thing came in through a soul tie with that individual. Says, break a soul tie and that thing will come out. I broke a soul tie between her and this, it was an aunt of hers, and this spirit came out. There were 16 of them. One of them was the spirit of witchcraft. There was witchcraft. One of her aunts was in witchcraft. And she manifested and sounded and acted like her aunt. Her whole countenance would change. I had never seen this happen in a person before, but we got all 16 of those personalities out. We didn't try to roll them all into one. We didn't try to get them saved. We threw them out. These people that try to roll those demons into one is out of their cotton-picking mind. You can't put demons in. You can't roll them all into one. You got to get them out. They say, well, it's personalities. Well, it's a demon that's taking on another personality that's working in that individual. Well, I'm just giving you a whole. But you know, she got free from it, every one of them, and changed. You know what I like about deliverance? When the spirit manifests in her, we'd get that thing out of her. She'd come up off the floor praising the Lord. Worshiping God. She had freedom from that thing, and she would come up giving God the glory. She never gave it to man. She gave it all to God. And God has done such a work in her. And I praise the Lord for it. I really do. Okay. And in Genesis chapter, what did I say? 44. And verse 30. I read this. I was reading this over this morning where, you know, when Joseph was in Egypt and his brothers came down and, you know, how he put the cup in Benjamin's bag of feed, the seed that they came and got. And when they found it, of course, you know, it was all Joseph was doing this. In verse 20, it says, we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left, and his mother and his father loveth him. And verse 30 says, now therefore when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. This talks, when you look at that word life and go back into the concordance, it's the same word as soul. So his soul was bound in the child's, in Benjamin's soul. So this is a good soul tie between father and son. And you don't break those soul ties. Jacob loved Benjamin because he thought, he loved his son, but they thought Joseph was dead. All of they had sold him into slavery. You know the story. But what I want you to look at is the soul tie between. And this is of God, because God wants the Father to be a father to the children. God wants the Father to take the place of the Father and that God had ordained for them to take, so that the Father could reveal God the Father to the children. Today there's not a lot of that happening. And while we're talking about the children, let me ask you this. Do you see children killing children, the things that are going on with kids today that have no conscience? You know what I'm saying? Their soul has been removed. How? Being born, being conceived through with what the Lord showed me was that many times they're conceived through drugs. A father or mother one on drugs. They're not conceived in love. They're conceived in lust, and therefore they never can feel love. We talked about rejection upstairs. They can't feel or receive love because of so much of their soul being torn and removed in the womb. I was telling them how we prayed over one of my grandchildren when she was in her mother's womb, did deliverance on her, and how different she was from all the other grandchildren that we had. We prayed that the Lord would prayed deliverance on her, and asked the Lord to restore her soul, call rebellion off of her, rejection, all the things that can come in through the family bloodline. That child was so different from the others. And God's given us this. If we pray over these children while they're still in the womb, they wouldn't come into the world with all this stuff on them. Couldn't do it with some of my others, because my others' children weren't believers at that time. I got nine grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. Four great-grandchildren. I have to stop and count. Anyways, going on. Let's go to Psalms 49. You know, I read that over Psalms 19:7 a while ago, that the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Well, let's look at the redemption of the soul. In verse 7, the word says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. God paid a price for man's redemption, to redeem him out of the hands of the devil. And God wants us to take back from the devil all that he's taken from us. You know, we're not as doers of the words as we should be. God wants us to be doers of the word. We don't receive from God just through presumption. We have to receive it. We have to receive what God's given unto us. And he's given unto us power and authority to defeat the enemy. And he's given unto us the knowledge, if we will take it and ask, get all of our soul back, get our families, get our kids' soul back, call our children's soul back, our grandchildren's soul back, if we'll believe. It's the believing when you pray that God will do what he says he's going to do. And the enemy comes up and steals from us because he doesn't want us to do this. But we have got to take our authority that God has given us and do what the Word says. James says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. When we just sit and soak up the Word and soak up the Word, oh, that's a good Word, that's a good Word, we become Dead Sea Christians. You know what a Dead Sea Christian is? You take it in, but you never give it out. And God wants us to give. He says, freely you've received, freely give. He says, go in my name. What does he say? Go and the believer will cast out devils. He said, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is that God wants us to walk in the authority of the power of the kingdom. And unless we begin to do it, it'll never come into our lives. And we start by doing what we know to do, beginning at home. He says, Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. Beginning where? He wants us to start at home. Jerusalem. Where's the other places? Judea. And then to Samaria. We go into the other part of the world after we work at home. But we get lazy. I know. I have people in the church and they're too lazy to do their own praying. I'm so disgusted. I'm disappointed. Forgive me, Lord. I was like disgusted when I had preached for 20 years to one woman, and then she'll call me up and say, "Will you bind me up?" And I said, "No, I won't." Shame on you, you say. No. After that long time, she'll bind herself. I said, "You bind, I'll agree with you." I am tired of parting the beards and feeding them a bottle. Lord, forgive me, but I want to see them grow up. I want them to grow up. I'm tired of doing deliverance on the same people over and over again. I want to see new people get delivered. And I want the people I've ministered to go and minister to others. God, help us to be obedient and to walk in power and authority. Let me tell you something. You want your faith to grow. Do it. Go do the word. Get you somebody. Deliver them. Deliver them. You got the authority. You got the authority. You can do it. You have the authority. Do it. You have the authority. And when you do and you see what God will do through you, it will increase your faith, and you'll be looking for somebody to minister to. And God will bring them. I promise you they'll come. They'll knock on your door and say, "Help me, I don't want to take these drugs." They get addicted to drugs and then they can't get off of them. And that's when you just stand up and do what you have to do. I've had them come to me covered in blood. I've had them come to me bringing... One woman called me and had a shotgun waiting for me, sitting in the bed with a shotgun. And I hadn't have told that, but it's true. She called me and said, "Help me." And there she sat, cross-legged with the gun across her lap. I said, "Father." Anyways, praise the Lord. Obviously, she didn't. Praise God for that. Now, I have a couple more scriptures. I got to hurry. In Matthew 12, the soul can be exchanged. And this is really what I've been talking about. The soul can be exchanged. In Matthew 12, well, I can't even find 12. There it is. Verse 26. Matthew 16, excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong scripture. 16. Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So God says that the soul can be exchanged. What do you give? What does a person give for exchange? You know, greed gets people to sell their own soul, really. But God's trying to show us that it can be exchanged, and we don't want to do that. We want it back. And I want to touch on another one. I know I probably might not do, but I'm going to, Lord. Oh, the Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy. You know, Deuteronomy 27. I ministered to a girl one time that had been into bestiality. She had a soul tie with a cat. And I had never run into that before. This has been a long time ago. I've run into soul ties with dogs where they've been in bestiality. But this girl has been in bestiality with a cat. And I didn't know anything about soul then. And I started calling the spirit of the cat out. And she literally began to, her hands became claws and her eyes looked really like a cat's eyes. And I was just obeying the spirit of the Lord. I didn't even know what it was at all at that time. And when I got to doing deliverance on her, she told me. So you can have a soul tie with an animal even without bestiality. Some people treat animals like they're human, and you form an evil soul tie with them. I've seen people treat their animals better than they do their children. And those things need to be broken. Those soul ties need to be broken. And you need to call the soul of that animal out of the individual. Okay? That's Deuteronomy 27, verse 21. It says, "Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast," and all the people shall say, "Amen." I didn't look up that word lieth, but we know what it means. But I'm wondering also, now y'all can stone me later, but if he's talking about having animals in the bed with us. That's what he said, didn't he? You think about it. You pray about it. Soul tie with the dead. I'm going to just do this. I'll give you scripture. It's Genesis 50, verse 10. I talked about having a soul tie with my husband's beginning with. That's the scripture for it. You can have a soul tie with a dead person, mother, father, and if you grieving beyond what God gives us to grieve, you need to break an evil soul tie with them, okay? And then Ezekiel 13, I got to do this, and then we're going to do deliverance. I was ministering to someone, I don't even remember who, and I ran into the spirit that hunts the soul, and I'd never heard of it before. And he told me this demon manifested and said he had a pouch full of souls. And I thought, Lord, I don't understand this, but the Lord always gives me a scripture when he gives me something. Let's read Ezekiel 13 and begin with verse 18. Verse 17 says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of the people which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs over the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you, and will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, or to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people and that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherefore you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Witchcraft removes souls. You know, I was talking about a while ago that people in nursing homes, some of them that are there and the condition they're in. Well, okay, let me ask you something. Do you know people that are in nursing homes that are just literally vegetables? That they're really pathetic, and I'm sure if they could, they wouldn't want to be like that. Did you hear what that scripture said? That it saves the souls alive that should die, but it kills those that should not die. He hunts the souls, removes the souls of people. I believe that a person that's left like that is used literally as a chalice. There are those, and what we need to do, if you know someone that's just in that kind of position in a nursing home, you need to go and call that person's soul back. Ask God to restore their mind, their will, their emotion, their ability. Break the power of the witchcraft curses that have been loosed upon them. You know, a lot of people don't believe in witchcraft, but it's very real. Everybody ought to begin to believe in it now, all this garbage that's going around right now. Okay? So, souls can be removed and be destroyed by witchcraft. And there's a spirit that's called the hunter of souls. He hunts the souls to make them fly. And I ran into that through a witch one time. She told, I didn't know what it was. I knew that I read in the Word, but she was telling me that this spirit comes up out of the ground. And many times when I'm doing deliverance in my church, I begin to smell earth. It smells like fresh ground. And when I smell that, I bind and rebuke the hunter souls out of my church. And it works with a witch, but it takes souls. I think it was Norman Parris that talked about the young man that he dealt with, was dealing with, was in witchcraft. He was a photographer or something, and he literally removed people's souls and put them in jars, and he said people would get sick and die, and all these things were happening, but he got saved. This young man got saved, and Norman said, and the tape that I was listening to said, he didn't know what to do, really, about how to get the souls restored. So he told the young man, he said, let's take them out and break the jars and release those souls. And so the next time he'd see some of these people he had seen that were just sickly, they were looking better. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Was that what they did? And he did it by destroying the, breaking the jars and releasing the souls. And so you see, the enemy believes in removing the soul. And we say, well, he can't do that. God's trying to show us what the enemy wants to do to us. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray, and we're going to break the soul tie and call the soul back. Ask God to restore our souls. If you know someone that you have a real strong soul tie with, you need to ask the Lord to break that soul tie and restore your soul. Okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Father. And Father, we ask right now that you break every evil soul tie of everyone here right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said if we asked, you would do it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you break every evil soul tie, restore the soul. And Father, you said you restore our souls. So I ask you to restore our soul. You know where every portion of the soul is. And in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father, to restore the soul and bring it back from and restore it perfectly whole within each one of us. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I call out every evil soul tie right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. First of all, I'm going to go after unbelief. I call unbelief and doubt out right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of unbelief, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to restore the mind, the will, the emotion, the ability, every portion of the soul in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I call out every spirit of unbelief, doubt, unforgiveness. I call out adultery, spirits of adultery in the name of Jesus. I call out bestiality in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. Let them go in Jesus' name. I call out fear, all the fears in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. All the spirits that came in through the ungodly soul ties, turn loose and come out of there. Come out of there. I call the soul of the mother out in the name of Jesus. The evil soul tie of the mother. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Evil soul tie of control. Soul tie of the father. I call those evil souls out. Come on out of there. All the sickness and diseases that are in those soul ties. All the sickness and disease. Come out of there. Heart problems. Cancer. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the sickness and diseases that in the family bloodline, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, headaches, migraine headaches and sinus problems, cancer, fear of cancer that's in those soul ties, come out of there. All the cancer from the mother and the grandmother and the great-grandmother, in the name of Jesus Christ, and then the fathers, come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I call out spirits of grief that have come in. In the name of Jesus, all grief, come out of there. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Sorrow, sadness, in the name of Jesus. Loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the fears that go in the name of Jesus. I call out the spirit, blood cancer, lupus, cancer of the throat, cancer of the colon, lung cancer, breast cancer. Come on out of there right now. Bitterness and unforgiveness. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. That came in through all those soul ties. Come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Cancer of the pancreas. Liver cancer. Heart attacks. Heart blockage. In the name of Jesus. Clogged arteries. Strokes. Come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name, loosen them. All the fears in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Heartache, sorrow, grief, sadness, fatigue. Come out of there. Depression. Let them go. Rejection. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all the rebellion, spirits of rebellion, I break every curse of rebellion and call it out. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Loosen them. Come on out of there.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.